Tucker Carlson's interview with Ambassador Huckabee in Israel is out, and Tucker got torn apart. We'll show you the best clips and break it all down. And stick around to the end, because Gavin Newsom makes some pretty racist comments to a black audience, which basically means he has cemented himself as the perfect Democrat nominee. So Tucker Carlson was genuinely embarrassing in his interview with Mike Huckabee. And what I want to show you first, as I take you through the interview, is these beautiful side-by-sides where Nathan Livingstone, great account on X, check him out, he basically showed where Tucker Carlson openly lied in the interview and contradicted himself. So we'll first start with Tucker talking about Christians in Israel. He is dead set on convincing everyone that there are fewer people who are Christians in Israel than his Muslim country sponsors. And Huckabee threw this lie right in his face, as of course a reference to what he did to Ted Cruz just a few months ago.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population.
At all?
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
Well, I'll tell you where Christians are not doing very well. They're not doing very well in the Muslim-controlled countries. There's almost no Christians in Qatar, for example, except those who live in the Christian ghetto, who are the service workers.
I'm sorry. Look, I don't want to argue with you. There are many more Christians in Qatar than there are in Israel.
How many?
Now you caught me. I don't know. I can look at my phone, but I was just there, and there are many more. Like, whatever.
So I got to say, for the entire duration of this interview, Mike Huckabee was fantastic. And a lot of you might disagree with me on this, but I really did not expect that from him at all. Older politicians in particular, not great on their feet usually. They're not great debaters. Mike Huckabee was incredibly calm the whole time, collected and armed with facts the entire time. And you could see Tucker was really out of his depth when talking about Israel. Later in the interview, Tucker was caught contradicting himself on what he said about Epstein and Mossad, and once again, Huckabee was right on it.
I'm not saying he worked for Mossad. I don't think we know that.
I think you said it, a turning point event. Everybody knows Jeffrey Epstein.
I said everyone thinks.
The real answer is Jeffrey Epstein was working on behalf of intel services, probably not American. This guy had direct connections to a foreign government. Now, no one's allowed to say that that foreign government is Israel.
Tucker is a pathological liar. A guy just won $1 million by creating an AI firm using VEO3 on the stage of the 1 billion follower summit hosted by the UAE government. A 19-year-old girl runs an AI automated agency and earns $100,000 a month. And the most recent report from Forbes shows that employees who use AI at work are earning 40% more than those who don't. The AI employment paradox is alive, and February matters because the early adapter phase is over. So the question is simple, guys. Will you watch this shift or win from it? Introducing OutSkill, the first ever AI-focused educational platform to accelerate AI learning for people like you and me. They are hosting the two-day AI Mastermind training live this Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. EST on both days. And right now is the perfect moment to join because you can get in absolutely free for the next 48 hours. This 16 hours AI training has already built 10 million plus AI-first professionals worldwide and is rated 4.9 out of 5 on Trustpilot. People from marketing, finance, operations, product, and engineering are joining this because this is something that's not specific to any industry, but it's now needed across every single one of them. You'll learn how to build AI agents that plan, write, execute, and report for you, automate workflows that run even while you sleep, connect tools like Sheets, Notion, CRMs, and email to create profitable systems, and use AI to save hours every week and get an unfair advantage at work. Not just that, you'll learn how to actually profit from these skills. People from this very training have launched AI-powered services that bring in $3,000 to $4,000 weekly just by applying the systems they're taught. To kickstart your year, you also get premium lifetime bonuses like the AI Prompt Bible, the AI Profit Roadmap, and your personalized AI Toolkit Builder. And here's the most interesting part, guys. When you sign up, you'll get access to the 2026 AI Survival Hackbook, a comprehensive compilation of the upcoming AI shifts in 2026 and the practical steps you can take to be prepared. Seats are limited, guys. Use the link in the description to join. You can also join the WhatsApp community to stay updated before the big blast. Again, go check it out right now. It's in the top right corner of the screen right now, or you can head to the description below. In fact, in the interview, he alleged that President Herzog, I've never heard of him before, but he's the president of Israel, he said that he was best friends with Epstein. And after realizing that this was completely false, he didn't actually know this, he just wanted to say it because he's anti-Israel, he realized that he needed to walk back this statement to avoid a defamation suit. Here's what that looked like.
Well, now we've received a long letter from President Herzog's office denying that he went to Epstein's Island. In fact, denying unequivocally that he had any contact with Epstein ever. They didn't know each other. They never emailed with each other, never been in the same room. They had no relationship of any kind. I've gotten a lot of letters like this over the years from people alleging, oh, you got it wrong. But rarely do you get a denial this unequivocal. And so for that reason, we are taking it seriously. There's nothing worse than impugning the reputation of an innocent man. And so I just want to say clearly, I'm sorry to imply that I knew something I didn't know. Of course, I don't know that Isaac Herzog was on the island. I was referring to that email and the protest against him, but I don't know that. And I didn't mean to suggest that I do know that. And I also wanted to air his side of this again.
So I guess it's good that he retracted it. But I think that this is more of a case of being upset that you were caught rather than being upset that you did something wrong. And I think we all know that a lot more people are going to see what he said about the Israeli president than the apology itself. So the damage is already done. One of the grossest things that Tucker did in this interview was try and take this moral high ground. And he's done it a lot. That not a single person should have died in the Gaza-Israeli conflict, which is completely illogical and self-righteous, of course.
It's a horrible thing, Tucker, and there are people who end up, unfortunately, being killed that shouldn't have been. I would tell you that I wish that none of those people in Gaza had been killed after October the 8th. Well, I say not none of them. I'm glad Mohammed Sinwar was killed. I'm glad that some of those warriors, the people who masterminded and carried out the atrocities October 7th.
14-year-old Hamas operatives, how do you feel about their deaths?
If they participated in that, then God help them. I'm telling you,
what
Tucker.
What does that mean, God help them?
I don't know
them.
That they were 14 years. No, but I'm telling you that when someone commits the acts of atrocity and then they hold hostages, if these were your children being held hostage in Gaza, what would you do to get them out?
I wouldn't want to kill 14-year-olds. I'll tell you that.
Let me ask you something. Would you do whatever it took to get your kids back if they were being tortured, starved,
and beaten?
I would
not kill children, period.
We've all heard Tucker Carlson make this argument over and over again. It's a completely bogus argument because if a 14-year-old kidnapped my daughter, and I think I can speak for pretty much everybody, except I guess Tucker Carlson because he's trying to be self-righteous. But if a 14-year-old kidnapped my daughter, I would be far less forgiving than the Israelis have been with the Gazans. I would just be I'd be justified in doing what I needed to do to get my daughter back, no matter what it was. Not for revenge. I'm not saying revenge is good, but to bring back her as a hostage. I don't have a 14-year-old daughter, but if I did, right? And I think the same was true for Israelis. The idea that Israel is to blame for kids dying because the parents of those kids invaded another country, took their citizens captive, and then hid behind those kids, the idea that it's Israelis' fault is ludicrous. And this is where Mike Huckabee really went on the offensive. He tore into Tucker for platforming someone who is an open propagandist and lied about Israelis and the IDF, and Tucker squirms.
You platformed a guy. You had him on your show, Tony Aguilar.
Don't platform anyone.
Well,
I interview people.
You interviewed.
Not a liberal,
Tony,
so I don't platform people.
Okay, you interviewed Tony Aguilar, who claimed that IDF soldiers killed a little boy in his presence. That didn't happen.
Okay.
It did not happen.
I don't know.
Let me give
you
the
story. I don't know if you know whether it happened or not.
Well, I can tell you why I know it didn't happen.
Okay.
Because we found that little boy less than a week later.
All right.
I was involved, heavily involved, in helping to extricate him from Gaza. Four different countries were involved in getting he and his mother to safety, get them out of there. Tony Aguilar is a liar.
Okay.
Tony Aguilar claimed that he saw an IDF soldier shoot the little boy. He was fired from the GHF for cause, and he begged for his job back, and they wouldn't give it back because they didn't want him. And he told them that if they didn't give his job back, that he would burn them down.
Okay.
So he goes out. No, let me finish this because it's important for you to understand.
Right.
So this guy then goes out and makes up this story that he witnessed IDF soldiers shooting a little boy.
I don't know that he made it up. He seemed to believe it to me. It's possible he's wrong. I've been wrong many times.
Well, this is a little bit more than just missing a fact. He claimed to be an eyewitness to the murder of a little boy.
Okay.
A little boy that a week later we found.
And you're sure it's the same little boy?
We're absolutely sure.
How do you know that?
Because we have pictures of him. We had descriptions of him. We know his name. We know his mother.
Okay.
He was extricated out of Gaza. It was a very delicate situation to get him out, because if Hamas had found out that he was still alive, they would have killed him in order to validate Aguilar's story.
How do you know that?
So he gets out.
How do you know Hamas would have killed him?
And then in classic fashion, Tucker goes and defends Hamas. I mean, it just could not be more obvious what he's doing. And this is where Tucker Carlson just falls apart. He completely descends into madness. He goes into a classic routine of saying, we send too much money to Israel, an opinion that I guess could be defensible. You know, I think Israelis themselves think that America sends them too much aid. They don't like those strings attached. But the problem was not the opinion. It was the problem that Tucker Carlson just could not defend his opinion at all. And instead, he changed the subject into some bizarre rant about something else.
Our country is not thriving, and we're spending, you know, tens and tens and tens of billions of dollars over time defending Israel and helping it prosecute all these.
Do you know where that money goes?
It goes to a lot of places.
Oh, but let's talk about that a minute. $3.8 billion a year. That money goes right back to the U.S. Mm-hmm. to purchase weapon systems.
I know how defense contracting works. I'm from Washington. Okay. No, I know this. I guess what I'm saying is America's not thriving at all. And
you think it's Israel's fault?
I don't think it's Israel's
fault. Okay, well, good.
No, because I think
I
just think that what we're doing isn't working at all. And America's not richer.
The president is doing some amazing things to get us back on track.
Not attacking Trump.
Okay.
I'm merely saying that over, say, the last 20 years, America's not gotten richer or freer at all. And I come to Israel and the infrastructure, we're flying in. And I said to my buddy, I was like, man, looks great. I love the agriculture in Israel because it's beautiful. I love green. I love plants.
I remember when it didn't look like that.
Yeah, yeah.
First time I came here 53 years ago.
It's great.
It did not look like
that. Great. Looks a lot nicer than our country. And it has higher standard of living. It has nicer roads than the United States. And so it's like, okay, why are we sending all this money to a country that has a higher standard of living than ours?
I don't know that they have a higher standard of living.
They do, actually. They have free health care. They also have free abortion. Are you okay with that?
I personally don't like that.
So he couldn't nail down Ambassador Huckabee on sending aid to Israel, so he deflects onto something else. Then he couldn't connect Israel to America going downhill, and so he deflects. And then he finishes by saying Israel is evil because they like abortions there. Okay, that's every single Western country. It sucks. I hate it, just like Huckabee. But that is the reality, and Israel is not unique in that. All the countries, by the way, that Tucker loves, kills their political opponents for sport. So I don't even know what he's saying. The last part of this interview that I want to show is really where Tucker turns full leftist. He starts using full leftist talking points. Tucker makes the argument that Jews do not have a right to the land in Israel because they're not genetically the same as the Jews from 4,000 years ago.
Just who are the people? Who are the descendants? So we know, and I believe, and I agree with you as a Christian, that God promised this land from modern day Iraq to modern day Egypt to this people, the Jews, to Abram's, actually not to the, to Abram's descendants, as it says in Genesis 15. Who are his descendants now and how do we know who they are?
I think they're the Jews and we know who they are because they've always been a Jewish people. There has been an unbroken line of Jewish people and they've lived in this land for 3,800 years.
So my question is, and it's not a bumper sticker answer, it's a sincere answer. How do we know? Because what you're saying is that certain people have a title to a highly contested region. They own it in some deep sense. So I think it's fair to ask, who are they and how do we know? So the current prime minister's ancestors weren't from here within recorded history. He has no deed. Bibi Netanyahu, on one side, his family's from Poland. They're from Eastern Europe. So how do we know that he has a connection to the people who God promised the land to, Abram's descendants? How do we know that?
Well, if you take the genealogies that come not only from the Old, but the New Testament, you see that there is a historical connection through the entirety of the Old and the New Testament that details the Jewish connection to this land.
Does that include Bibi's family? How do we know that if his family
But
how do we know it's the same people? Why is that crazy? If you say to me,
if they speak the same language, if they worship the same God, if they follow the same Bible, if they follow the same cultures and traditions, and they always pray next year in Jerusalem, and they pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they pray facing toward Jerusalem. Does that not give you a little bit of a clue as to who they are?
I was not expecting Tucker to take the conversation this way, but it is really where his argument falls apart. If the argument is that this land is promised to a group of people under covenant, like he talks about with Abram, then becomes Abraham, then what you have to tell me is what group in the world represents that covenant more than the Jewish people. That's what Tucker Carlson won't say. He's like, I don't really see it. You know, like Netanyahu's from Poland. It's like, so your solution to that is Muslims in like Arab Muslims and Palestinians are more like the people that God made a covenant with? I don't think so. If you want to say the Jews today aren't genetically the same as 4,000 years ago, for sure. I don't think anyone's arguing with that. But again, who is more Jewish than the current Jews? And to Mike Huckabee's point, he does a good job with this, is Tucker saying that the Arab Muslims are closer aligned to the people God made that covenant with? I do not think. Obviously, it's modern Jews. Obviously. Now, on the other side of things, guys, if that covenant was broken, which a lot of Christians believe, if that covenant with the Jewish people is broken because they crucified Jesus and the Holy Land is not promised to them anymore, then everything he's just saying there is irrelevant in the first place. All of it. Just in the same way that I don't care that Native Americans inhabited America before the Pilgrims. I don't. They don't have, just because of their genetics, they don't have a claim on America. My ancestors conquered it, and now they're better stewards of it. And I'm a better steward of it as a European American, essentially. And that is certainly true of Israelis as well. I know there's a lot of Jewish Israelis who say, no, 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 that's not the argument. God promised us the land. I understand where you're coming from. But from my point of view, I think this argument is way better, guys. Way better. I think almost every American can agree with you on this. The Israelis conquered the region, and they are way better stewards of it than the Arabs or the Palestinians or whatever you want to call them, because they're basically all the same. And no one believes Egyptians or Jordanians or Lebanese or any of those people are going to be better stewards of Israel than the current Israelis. And how do I know that? Because Israel is way better than Egypt. Just go land in Tel Aviv or Cairo. It's not even close at all. Also, this is a funny thing that many people have pointed out online. According to Tucker's own logic, that means that Jews didn't kill Jesus, because what he's saying is that these Jews do not in any way resemble what the Jews were after Abraham made his covenant with God. So, of course, and the reason why I bring that up is, of course, that argument is used against Jews all the time to hate on them. So he invalidates his entire argument. He invalidates the whole Groiper movement against Jews, you know, the whole Christian nationalist movement that hates Jews. He invalidates that. And you can tell that it's just a final attempt to grasp at straws in an interview where he is just incredibly unprepared for it. And Mike Huckabee is no slouch. And I really did not realize that before this. Again, I'm kind of going off of his performance in presidential debates since he's run for president before. Didn't do a great job. It is very clear to me he knows what he's talking about. He clearly knows his stuff, and he was remarkably calm with a very smug Tucker Carlson. In other news, Gavin Newsom is the perfect Democrat nominee for 2028. And why do I say this, guys? Because like all of his predecessors, he too says shamelessly racist things by accident, or maybe on purpose, I don't know. This time, he said he's like his black audience because he got bad test scores in high school.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. And, you know, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, trying to act all there if you got 940. But literally a 960 SAT guy, I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech.
This is completely reminiscent, of course, when Biden said that there are poor kids and then there are white kids. And this is not just relegated to those two people. Here is Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, from just a bit ago, talking about how black kids don't even know what a computer is.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them.
Obviously, the chief example of the soft bigotry of low expectations is Democrats saying black folks can't get IDs right now. Ridiculous. The fact that you can get away with saying that is insane. So this is a common theme. And even though I did say it tongue in cheek, I really do think Gavin Newsom is the perfect Democrat nominee. He is slick. He is completely establishment, and his numbers are actually improving. If you're a Democrat, I could really see you voting for Gavin Newsom. I don't understand it, but just putting my brain in a Democrat brain, I could see it. If you look at the primary polls, him and Kamala Harris are almost in a dead heat. They're getting very close. If you look at the polls between him and J.D. Vance, the presumptive Republican nominee, it actually looks much better for Newsom. You can see this right here. With Thomas Massie running as an independent, this is according to Big Data, People's Pundit, Gavin Newsom is 44% of the vote. J.D. Vance has only 38% of the vote, and Thomas Massie has 7.9. Now, it does say not sure is 9.7. Those are going to be the low propensity voters anyway, so those people might not even vote. So it might not matter. But sure, that 9.7 is enough to swing things technically. But at the end of the day, if Thomas Massie runs third party, Gavin Newsom wins 100%. This is not something I think that's being talked about enough. There is just not enough people in America who are going to vote for J.D. Vance and Thomas Massie. It's not going to work out. If a lot of people vote for Thomas Massie, it's going to split the vote, is what I'm trying to say. I think this poll is actually very indicative of what is happening in America. I really think there is about 8% of people who would vote for Thomas Massie. And again, if you look at the polling, if that 8% goes for J.D. Vance, he wins the popular vote by more than Donald Trump did. So it's not like J.D. Vance is not popular. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying if Thomas Massey's in, it splits the vote. And that's really bad for Republicans. It's something they need to look at. I really hope Massie does not run, or I think we get Joe Biden 2.0, but with less tripping and more slicked back hair. The progressive left is a cult, guys. We talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. And I talk about some crazy, crazy stories. I don't really mean that as like, oh, they're kind of culty. I mean like they do some scary stuff. And I talk about it in my book. Go check it out right now. It's on Amazon in the link below. There's more where that came from, guys. If you enjoyed the show, come talk more politics and controversy with me on another video. You can just click on the screen right now.